Vate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Verses 46 and 47. Verse 46. Tad dharma gya mahabhaga. Avadhir gauravam kulam. Vijanam narhati praptum. Pujam vanyam abhikshnashah. Chant. Therefore, Dharmagya, one who is aware of the principles of religion. Mahabhaga, the most fortunate. Avadhi, by your good self. Gauravam, glorified. Kulam, the family. Vijanam, that which is painful. Na, not. Arhati, does deserve. Praptam, for obtaining. Pujam, the worshipable. Vanyam, respectable. Avishnashaha, constantly. Translation: O most fortunate one who knows the principles of religion, it is not good for you to cause grief to glorious family members who are always respectable and worshipful. Report. Beside himself, a respectable family is sufficient to invoke grief. Therefore, a cultured man should always be careful in dealing with worshipful family members. Maradid asa janani gautami pati devata yathahamrita vatsarta radin yashunaki moho. My lord, do not make the wife of Dronacharya cry like me. I am a grief for the death of my son. She need not cry constantly like me. Report. Sympathetic good lady as she was, Srimati Draupadi did not want to put the wife of Dronacharya in the same position of childlessness, both from the point of motherly feelings and from the respectable position held by the wife of Dronacharya. Mukam karoti vachalam bangam langate virinyati pantamam bande. Shigram Dinatarinam, Omagana Timarandasya Gananjala Sharakaya, Chakshumiditam Yena Dasamai, Shigurave. So Draupadi was empathizing with Kripi, mother of Ashvatthama. Draupadi understood the grief of a mother who lost her son, so she did not want Kripi to suffer like herself. This is the compassion of a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi. His Holiness Bhakti Tirthamraj used to ask these questions. Did some difficulty ever happen to you and you thought, why me? Then the second question was, did some difficulty ever happen to someone else and you thought, I'm glad it's not me? The third question. Did some difficulty ever happen to someone else and you thought, well, I wish it should happen to me instead? So this is the Vaishnava. She's thinking for others. She's thinking for Kripi. So the Vaishnava thinks for everyone. Prahlad Maharaj, he was self-realized. He was happy in Krishna consciousness, but he was thinking for others. He said to Lord Nrisimhadev, I'm happy chanting. I'm a happy chanter. But I see others are suffering. No attachment for love of God. I'm lamenting for them. And I'm trying to figure out how to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. And another prayer, he said, my dear Lord Shingadev, I see there are many saintly persons, but they're interested only in their own deliverance, the yogis, the gyanis. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or forests to meditate with vows of silence. They're not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Sages Naimisharanya, Vyasadeva, they saw the suffering living entities of Kali Yuga. So Vyasadeva, in order to alleviate the miseries of the people of this age, he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. So one of the purposes of ISKCON was incorporated today, is to propagate the message of Gita and Bhagavatam and showing how Krishna is the center here. And so the Bhagavatam is an incarnation of Krishna. So we have this incarnation, the holy name and the Bhagavatam with us, so we can take advantage of associating with Krishna anytime. Just pick up the book and read it. So Vyasadeva, if he saw these miseries, that they weren't part of us, they were just covering us, and they can be mitigated by devotional service, but people don't know about it, so he wrote Bhagavatam, which is in relation to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he saw the suffering of the people of the Western countries, so he left India to save us. On a morning walk, one devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, it seems Lord Chaitanya preached in India, but left the rest of the world for you to preach. And Srila Prabhupada's answer was, and for you. So we have an obligation here. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. So we hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna brought the treasure of Krishna Prema to this earth, but it was locked. Lord Chaitanya opened the treasure, ate the contents, distributed it freely. But it was still locked for the rest of the world, even for modern India. So Prabhupada took the treasure, opened it up, and gave it to everyone, regardless of birth or qualification or residence, Eastern, Western. And he started this movement on faith. When he first landed in the USA, he had faith in the holy name. He had faith. What did he bring with him? Srimad Bhagavatam, cases of books. He had faith in Bhagavatam and the holy name. And he quoted some verses from Bhagavatam, first canto, seventh chapter, second chapter, verses 17 to 21. And when he came, he was observing the people. And in his poem, he said, most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. So first he was feeling a little hopeless, but then he thought about Krishna. Because sometimes we may also feel hopeless if we have some heavy service to do. But then he thought of Krishna. He said, but I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible, because you are the most expert mystic. All living entities have come under the control of lucid energy by your will. Therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. So Prabhupada was hopeful that Krishna would deliver us. Then he said something that actually made it sure that we will be delivered. Prabhupada said, I wish that you deliver them. Pure devotee says something, Krishna has to fulfill it. Prabhupada wished that we be delivered. Prabhupada desired that we understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna has to fulfill. He had to fulfill his desire. Desire of pure devotee. So then Prabhupada quotes Bhagavatam. He says, the words of Bhagavatam are your incarnation. If a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, he'll be able to understand your message. So here's the two verses, two of the five, just the first two, which are pretty familiar. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is Paramatma in everyone's heart and benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Then the second one, which is very familiar, by regular attendance in class on Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service to the personality of Godhead praised with transcendental songs establish an irrevocable fact. So right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is urging us to hear Bhagavatam. And the second verse in the purport, he tells us the proper way to receive this transcendental message is to hear it submissively. And he says, one must be anxious to hear this transcendental message. The desire to sincerely hear is the first qualification. Then he says, the intelligent person can be assured by the great sage Vyasadeva, he can realize the Supreme Personality directly by hearing Bhagavatam. Without undergoing the different stages of realization in the Vedas, one can be lifted immediately to the position of Paramahansa, simply by agreeing to receive this message. So just agree. Okay, I'm going to hear Bhagavatam. Be anxious also, and be submissive. That helps. To hear Bhagavatam, and you will become a Paramahansa. Yeah, I remember when I first joined the movement and in Boston, and I was a new devotee. So one of the seniors, it was Giriraj Maharaj, he was a Prabhu then, Brahmachari, and he was pointing to one of the ladies, and he said, see, there goes a Paramahansa, there goes a Mahatma. And I was like, wow. I was like, whoa. So that's the mentality that we had. So with being, now we'll hear a little bit from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that first I'll offer obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. Malakara Swayam Krishna Prema Marataru Swayam Datta Bokta Tat Falanam Yastam Chaitanya Mahashaye. I take shelter of the Supreme Personality of God, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is himself the tree of transcendental love of Krishna, its gardener, and also the bestower and enjoyer of its fruits. So Krishnadas Kaviraj said, the Lord brought the desire tree of devotional service to this earth, became its gardener. He sowed the seed and sprinkled upon it the water of his will, and the branches of the Chaitanya tree formed a cluster or society with great branches covering all the universe. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains, our international society for Krishna consciousness is one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree. And we will have another ISKCON in the spiritual world. When he was incorporating ISKCON, International Society, he was living on the Bowery, and he's incorporating the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because he saw the temples all over the world. He already saw them. Man, it's just time was separating. So he knew. He knew that Krishna consciousness, by the mercy of Krishna, by the will of Krishna, was going to be spread all over the world. So then Krishnadas Kaviraj says, the fruits ripened, became sweet and nectarian. The gardener, Lord Chaitanya, distributed them without asking any price, not considering who asked for it, who did not, who was fit and who unfit to receive it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed the fruit of devotional service. So we're going to hear a little bit more how Prabhupada did not discriminate who was fit and who was not fit. Some of our devotees, they were trying to tell Prabhupada, no, this one. Even if this, I think Bhakti Chara Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Chara Maharaj, they were telling him, why are you giving him sannyas? He's such a new person. We don't know him. Maybe he'll fall down. So then Srila Prabhupada said, if he falls down, he'll fall to the mode of goodness. So that's our Bhakti Chara Maharaj. So he did not, he gave it to everyone. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? Therefore, I order everyone within this universe to accept this Krishna conscious movement and distribute it everywhere. So that's the order coming from Lord Chaitanya down to Srila Prabhupada for this branch of the Lord Chaitanya tree, which was incorporated today. So Lord Chaitanya, he gave that order, and he also gave another order, Jarida Kotari Koho, Krishna Vadesh, whoever you meet, tell them about the instructions given by Krishna, or tell him narrations of Krishna. Tell them to chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada explains in one purport in the fourth canto what the message is. It's Bhagavad Gita, essentially. So Prabhupada said the preacher's duty is to study Bhagavad Gita as it is understood by the simple succession and explained by great sages and learned scholars. One should speak to the general populace according to Sadhu, Guru, and Shastra. And also hearing from Gita and Bhagavatam will help you to become perfect in Krishna consciousness too. So part of the order was you become perfect and you help others also. Srila Prabhupada has also said, Sankirtan will keep you happy and the books will keep you convinced. So now I'd just like to tell some stories about Srila Prabhupada, since the theme today is compassion. So I would like to tell how he was very compassionate. Govindadasi tell, oh no, this is not Govindadasi, this is Urvashi in, I think she's near Los Angeles or San Diego or somewhere around there. She's on the West Coast. And she gave Prabhupada some jam made by her mother. And Prabhupada really loved the jam. And he asked for her mother's name and address because he wanted to write her a thank you note, a letter. So this was during the opening of the Krishna Balaram temple. So then Urvashi met Prabhupada, gave him the jam. He asked for the name and address. Huge, you know, thousands of people are coming, installation of deities. Prabhupada was thinking to write a thank you letter to her mother. Imagine. For guava jam. He said, this is my favorite jam, and my mother used to make guava jam for me. Then he said, don't worry about your daughter. I'm taking care of her. She's nicely engaged in the Lord's service. Oh, Prabhupada was so compassionate for the parents. He took that time to recognize that little gift from her mother. Now, Govindadasi talks about one time she was sitting in a chair with Prabhupada in a garden, and he was softly chanting japa, and suddenly she saw a large brown slug, very slimy. And she was repulsed, and she leaned away from the creature, and Prabhupada looked at her, and she said, oh, look at this. So Prabhupada leaned forward, he looked at the slug, his face grew full of love and compassion. And he said to Govindadasi, chant to the poor creature. And so Govinda was sitting there chanting Hare Krishna to the slimy, benedicted slug for some time until he slithered away. Prabhupada had incredible compassion even for the most abominable creature. We see them on our plants and we try to get them off and throw them somewhere. Oh, Prabhupada, she said, I can never forget the sound of your voice when you gave me that instruction. In it, your whole mission was encapsulated, chant to the poor creature. Your face looked pained, full of compassion for the poor jiva and that slimy body. You did not see the ugly slug I saw. You saw the soul covered in suffering, forgetful of Krishna. From that moment, my heart opened for all creatures, and I glimpsed the depth of your divine compassion. So another example with Govinda Dasi, she was sleeping in an apartment and there were bed bugs. Prabhupada was in the same apartment too. She was sleeping on a blanket on the floor in the kitchen and she would wake up with red bites all over her cheeks. And she said, I tried to turn the other direction, my feet to the wall, but then my feet would be covered with red bites. Swamiji asked us how we're doing, and seeing the red marks on my face, I explained to him, bugs are biting me. He laughed and said, pointing to his window, yes, they also come here, but I stay very still. And when they think I'm asleep, they come. Then I catch them and chant to them and put them out the window. By the breathing, they know just when a man is sleeping, but I can trick them. His eyes sparkled as he told how he tricked the little bed bugs by pretending to be asleep. So that night I tried tricking them, but I fell asleep and got bitten as usual. And the next night, and again, to no avail, I couldn't catch them. A few days later, I told Swamiji, I've tried every night to catch them, but I can't catch them. I breathe softly, try to pretend I'm asleep. They're too clever. They don't come and bite until I'm really asleep. I don't know how you do this. Swamiji laughed and wagged his head side to side, saying, yes, you have to be very expert. And so, yeah, and so these, she was appreciating how Prabhupada cared for these living entities who come only for biting and sucking blood. But he was giving mercy, even to those bed bugs. Another example was in France. Prabhupada was on a morning walk. One really dirty hippie jumped out of the bushes and said, food, food! And the devotees threw him back in the bushes. But when they got back to the temple, that hippie was there. And as soon as Prabhupada came in, he grabbed Srila Prabhupada's feet and saying, food, food! And Prabhupada was rubbing his head and he was saying, it's okay, it's okay. And then Prabhupada told them they had to keep him in the temple. And so they kept him for cleaning. 3 weeks later, they were going on book distribution. And then he showed up at the Sankirtan band and said, I go. And he said, no, you can't go. And then Maharaj said, okay, you can clean the van. And so they went on book distribution, and they called him Pigpen, actually. That was his name. Not his name, but what they called him. Then one day he took a bag full of books and went out, and he came back with an empty bag full of money. And they said, well, what do you tell the people? He says, Prabhupada saved me. And later on he started giving classes and he left his body in Vrindavan a few years ago. Yeah. Another example was in India, in Juhu, there was one Indian devotee who was making life members and keeping the money for himself. So Tamal Krishna went to Prabhupada and said, we have to write something to our life members to warn them about this person. But Prabhupada hesitated. He was not ready to give up on this devotee. Then this devotee started living with a bogey yogi on Juhu Beach to learn the art of passing a coin into one ear and out the other ear. Tamal said, Prabhupada, this is the limit. This is the end. It's finished. And Prabhupada looked at Tamal and said, you do not know about Lord Nityananda's mercy? And Tamal said, why, Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, because there is no limit to Lord Nityananda's mercy and compassion, no end to his forgiveness. So sure enough, Tamal said, later on, the devotee came back. Prabhupada tried to help him. He even gave him sannyas. This devotee became a sannyasi. So, another time Prabhupada was in Bombay, he got a phone call from temple president in Calcutta. One of Prabhupada's earliest disciples from America had come to Calcutta and was smoking ganja, marijuana. What should I do? Prabhupada told his secretary to tell him, if he doesn't stop smoking ganja, I will reject him. And Tamal Krishna asked, is it true? If he doesn't stop smoking ganja, you'll reject him? And Prabhupada said, no, I cannot reject anyone. Mercy of Lord Nityananda has no limit. That was Prabhupada's compassion. Then there was Dr. Patel. He used to walk with Srila Prabhupada on Juhu Beach. And Prabhupada would accuse him, you're a Mayavadi. And Dr. Patel would say, no, sir, I'm a Vaishnava, a pure Vaishnava. And so one time they had a huge argument. Prabhupada brought up one when Reverend so-called Saint of India and Prabhupada was criticizing that saint, and Dr. Patel had a huge argument, and so then his friends pulled him away from Prabhupada. And back at Hare Krishna land, Tamal Krishna asked, so what is Dr. Patel's position? Is he a Vaishnava or a Mayavadi, impersonalist? So Prabhupada told a story about a man who could speak many languages. In whatever language people addressed him, he could respond fluently. No one could figure out where the man was from. After much discussion, a neighbor said, I will find out. So one day when the man was preoccupied, the neighbor came up behind him and gave him a big whack. And when the man started to curse in his native tongue, his origin was disclosed. So Dr. Patel is like that, Prabhupada said. He can speak very, very nicely, expertly. He can sound like a devotee, sound like a Vaishnava, sound like a Mayavadi, sound like anything. But when I gave him a slap where it really hurt, the so-called saintly person he revered, his real language came out. So why do you put up with him, Tamal? Krishna said, he's so offensive. Prabhupada said, it is our duty to engage everyone. And so he wanted to give Dr. Patel a chance. After Prabhupada left, Dr. Patel wrote a beautiful article, The Back to Godhead, entitled My Life's Most Precious Moments, with the subtitle, A Bombay Doctor Wins the Title Big Fool and Loves It. Because Prabhupada would always call him a mudha. And he said, I don't say, Krishna says. So also when the devotees were in Bombay, very austere conditions, the men were living in a hut, the ladies were up on the roof of a building, and Dr. Patel went begging to the market, and he got mattresses, mosquito nets, so many things. He donated it to the devotees. But after a couple of years, everything went missing because it's India, we had no doors, and we were just on the roof, they were in the hut. And Dr. Patel was complaining to Prabhupada, these devotees, they're careless, they don't care about their health, they don't use mosquito nets, everything's gone. So Prabhupada said to Dr. Patel, that liberation you so much desire, they already have it. That was Prabhupada's answer. He said we were liberated. We're still trying though. We're still trying to serve Srila Prabhupada. So another story about Prabhupada. One time they caught a child in Juno Beach stealing papaya from the papaya trees. And in India, you know, when somebody steals, it's a huge offense. And so they took the child to Prabhupada, and they said, Prabhupada, this child is stealing papaya. So Prabhupada asked the devotee, so if you get this papaya, what will you do with it? The devotee said, we will eat it. Then he asked the child, what are you going to do with this papaya? And the child said, I will eat it. And so Prabhupada said, yes, take as much as you want. Go and take as much papaya as you like. You can have them. And so he was very, very compassionate for the children. I think later his parents became devotees after the exchange with Srila Prabhupada. And so Bhagavatam says, Titikshava Karunika Suhida Savadehinam Ajata Shatava Shanta Sarava Sarubhushana. Symptoms of a sadhu are he's tolerant, merciful, friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He's peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and his characteristics are divine. And so Prabhupada, in his purport of that verse, he says, a devotee travels all over the country preaching, be Krishna conscious, be a devotee of Krishna, don't spoil your life, simply fulfilling your animal propensities. Human life is meant for self-realization or Krishna consciousness. These are the preachings of a sadhu. He's not satisfied with his own liberation. He always thinks about others. He's the most compassionate personality toward all fallen souls. Karunika is mercy to the fallen souls. So when the devotees were in Juhu Beach, Prabhupada gave a lecture there. And from early morning, he said that we were pure devotees, sadhus. He used this verse to describe us. He said, from early morning at 3 o'clock to night 10 o'clock, they have only business, Radha Krishna. Therefore, they are sadhus. We are chanting Hare Krishna mantra, and that is nuisance. This complaint is going to the police. So Mangalarti, there were complaints from people to the police that this chanting is a nuisance. Therefore, a sadhu's advice to Tikshala, tolerate all this nonsense. What can be done? We have to tolerate. Nobody's coming to help us. It's a thankless task. Just because we're trying to create one temple, so many enemies giving us hindrance. Therefore, titikshava. You have to become merciful, karunika. Yeah, and he said, you know what happened here? The police attacked the temple and they wanted to break it. We could have gone. What's the use of taking so much botheration? We got hundreds of temples outside India. Bombay people don't like. Let's go away. No. Karunika. We have come to distribute Krishna conscious movement. We must tolerate and give this message to the people, karunika, very merciful in spite of all trouble. These boys, American boys, they have come to help me. Not they're hungry, they've come here. No, my mission is you, American, you chant Hare Krishna, so Indian people will see, oh, Americans are also chanting, why not ourselves? It's our property. But unfortunately, so much dull brain, it is not coming. Still, we have to do it. We have to tolerate and become karunika. Paradukaduki. So to describe Suhita, the heart is so, so sweet. Prabhupada said the Vaishnava is so kind, not only to human beings, to the cats, dogs, trees, plants, insects. He will hesitate even to kill a mosquito. And so Giriraj Maharaj was telling about when they were constructing the guest house in Bombay, in the temple, they had to make a road to go inside the temple. And there was a coconut tree that was right in the middle of the road. And of course they wanted to cut it, and Prabhupada said, no, you cannot cut that tree. And so he said, you go to the city and tell them that we want to keep this tree and we will make our road with the tree in the middle. So Maharaj Giriraj had to go to the city and he got the permission to leave the tree. So there's a tree in the middle of the road. And I saw them when I visited Bombay also. They were moving one of the coconut trees. They were moving from one place to another. It took about 20 men to carry. They didn't have cranes in those days. It took about 20 men to move the coconut tree. And so that was Prabhupada's compassion, even for the trees. He was compassionate. So Srila Prabhupada advised, find a sadhu, associate with him, and your path of liberation will be open. At the same time, be karunika, go town to town, village to village, and enlighten them in Krishna consciousness. If you're a preacher, they're better than those who have gone to Himalayas. Just like one time, one of our devotees was preaching in China, and he had a program at a Buddhist monastery. And he was sitting in the audience, and one Buddhist was next to him, one of the Buddhist monks. And so the Buddhist saw his sikha, he said, what's that? He said, yeah, that shows that I'm following this philosophy. He said, so what's your philosophy? He said, yeah, that, yes, we see the energy of the Supreme in everything, and we want to serve the Supreme. He didn't talk about, because it was China, you know. He can't really speak openly. He said, so then the Buddha said, so what do you do? How do you follow this philosophy? He said, the devotee said, yeah, we go village to village, town to town, and we tell people about it. And then the monk, the Buddhist said, oh, you're better than us. We just stay up in the mountains here because we're scared to go down and associate with the people. He understood. Yes, you're better than us. And so Srila Prabhupada said, sarvadehinam, all bodies, even cats, dogs, the devotee wishes welfare, even of the cats and dogs, giving him prasadam. Take a little prasad. And he's always peaceful and attached to Krishna. So that was Prabhupada. He was a saint living amongst us. He was compassionate, not only compassionate, tolerant, showing us how to be merciful. And today's the day that this all started on a large scale, I mean the incorporation of ISKCON. So remembering, on this day we're remembering the compassion that Prabhupada had to leave everything and go to the West, to degraded New York City, and just to save us. And we'll stop here. If you have any questions, comments. Yes, Vajra.
Coming to this text here, Arjuna and Krishna went to get Ashwatthama. And Arjuna was told Draupadi agreed that I'll bring his head and I will have put the, you know, your feet on it.
Right.
And Arjuna had, Draupadi agreed at that time, assume. And then Krishna is also instigating Arjuna that, yeah, this is the promise you have given. But then now the Draupadi is completely changing other way around.
Yeah. Draupadi is changing. Once she saw Ashwatthama in front of her, then she thought about his mother. She was reminded of his mother. And then she thought, oh, the position of his mother, I don't want to make her like cry like me. And she started, then her compassion came out.
So, but it's interesting, at the same time, the battle of Kurukshetra happened because of the many other reasons, but Draupadi was the main to have this whole battle happen.
Yeah, that's true. Draupadi was the main character. Yes.
And here she is.
Now she's completely doing the opposite.
Yes.
She's doing the opposite. Yes. Yes. So that's the compassion of a Vaishnava, that they empathize with others. They don't just think of themselves. So she was, of course, justice was there. I mean, the just thing to do, the right thing to do, was to kill Ashwatthama. But she was taking the vision, a higher vision, which is mercy is better, is higher than justice. And when you come to devotees, then mercy is there. When Krishna looks at us, he does not judge us in terms of the bad things we did, but he sees the good and he gives us mercy. Just like the karma, he says, I will protect you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. So we deserve so much suffering from our sinful reactions, but Krishna, he changes the whole thing. Surrender to me and you don't have to worry about your... So instead of justice, you should get your suffering for your sins. Instead of justice, Krishna gives mercy. So she was, even though Krishna, in this case, he wanted justice. And Bhagavad Gita also, he speaks very heavily in some places. But Prabhupada says the devotee is more merciful. And that's why it's good for us to surrender to the devotee. Because that's the mercy side of Krishna. So Draupadi, she was showing that mercy side of Krishna. So Prabhupada, he was the incarnation of mercy. He was showing the mercy side of Krishna, just like Draupadi here. She was showing the mercy side of Krishna, not seeing the bad he did. She saw the good, his relationship with his mother and father, and thinking about their relationship with his mother and father. So Prabhupada said, based on these two things, that she didn't want to make creepy cry, and also based on their relationship, and therefore she decided to be merciful to him.
Yeah. We have a couple things here. So one month she says, one time, I can't remember, the devotees were committing offense after offense. Prabhupada forgave them the first few times, and then, as they kept sinning, he said something like, enough, you are irredeemable. Then Mother Ragatmika has a question. She says, is the Gaudiya Math one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree? If so, is that branch broken off, or did Prabhupada restore that branch by replacing it with ISKCON?
Okay, so there's two questions, is it?
Yes.
And the first one was about offenses. Well, and Prabhupada said you cannot redeem them, but here Prabhupada says one thing one time and another thing another time. So in the case, I think he would judge it case by case. and see the mentality of the devotees. And according to that, he would give his judgment. Like one devotee asked permission from Prabhupada to go to another guru, ask for blessings. And Prabhupada cursed him. You won't find a guru for a million births, or a crore, a day of Brahma. So according to the case, Prabhupada saw that. And the second about Gaudiya Math, that is Lord Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's branch. And if you want to read more about it, Prabhupada does explain his viewpoint about that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You would have to look it up. I can't remember which chapter it's in. But yeah, you have to look that up, because I can't remember right now the exact words that it says. But I think he did say something like, it was broken up, and we should not be the same with ISKCON. But at the same time, there are always sincere devotees everywhere in the world, and we have to recognize them. We can't just say, oh, you're a part of that group, so we reject you. You're part of that group. We have to see the good also. I remember when the first time I left India to go preach in the West in Germany, I was getting on the airplane. I was going to UK. I was going to Ireland actually, and there was a sannyasi from the Gaudiya Math on the same plane with me. His name was Govinda. And he was the head of, I think, the Sridhar Swami branch. But it was his first time to go in an airplane, and he kind of saw me in a sari, and he was asking me, oh, what do I do now? What do I do now? And so, okay, so I took him up to the airplane. We went together. We were talking about how we're going to go and preach. It was my first time. It was his first time to go out and preach, and we were discussing what we were going to do. And then we came right to the plane. And he said, are you sure this is the right plane? I said, well, you don't have any choice right now, do you? So it was like that. He got off in Germany, and I continued to Ireland. But yeah, very sincere. And he was following his spiritual master orders. And I think he became the head of his whatever branch. I don't know. She does. Govinda Maharaj, his name was. So yeah, we have to... be open to see the good, although we may not associate with them. We may not associate if you find something that is makes you lose your faith in Srila Prabhupada, then you should not associate. But we still have to respect everyone. And I cannot say what Krishna will say, but you can read about it in Chaitanya Charitamrita to look it up. Okay, Hare Krishna. I'll go to Srila Prabhupada.